Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim with Ed and Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Morning, Tim.
And Ray's in Kansas City, Kansas. How you doing, Ray?
Doing good, Tim.
Hey, just had a family from Manhattan, Kansas, stop by. And they were touring our studios and our offices here. And it was good to see. Good to
Bunch
see the
kids.
Good to see those folks. Yeah. Manhattan, what is that, an hour, 2 hours from you?
It's not far, just up the road. That's the home of Kansas State University.
Kansas State. I had to speak one time 20 years ago at a Christian businessman's function in Manhattan. I was on the campus, I think, there of KSU, and it was January.
And I not the ideal time,
yeah,
perhaps.
I flew into Kansas City and drove over.
Yeah.
It was so cold, I cried. It was brutal.
You probably didn't even bring a jacket at least?
I did, but still, it doesn't matter. I just remember it was like very, very, very cold, as it typically is, I guess.
And the wind never stops blowing.
I know.
This is the plains.
January in Kansas.
It's awful.
Pretty cold. And then we also got some friends in studio watching the show, Larry and Angie Russo. Larry's a pastor at the Harvest Church in Port Allen, Louisiana, which is right across the river, you say, from Baton Rouge. So Pastor Larry just wanted his congregation to know he was serious, that he was going to the Ark in Cincinnati and coming here, and they did not go to Las Vegas.
So, is that a message to his church board in case they're listening?
I can vouch for Brother Larry and Sister Angie. They're here in studio with us today, and they are listeners to AFR, and God bless you. Thanks for coming by and seeing us, and welcome. And if you're traveling and you happen to be coming through Tupelo, Mississippi, we would welcome you to come by and visit us. Right, Ed?
That's right. We do like for folks to just give us a little advance warning so we make sure we have some.
And bring some gifts.
Yes.
I mean, if you're going to come.
Yeah, I was going to say we want to make sure we have someone available to take them on a tour.
Right.
But gifts are appreciated.
Gifts. Right.
And it will help somebody show up to bring them on a tour pretty quickly, too.
Right.
That's right.
I mean, even such things as, $20 Cracker Barrel gift
right.
card.
Oh, good.
We can take.
Pizza, coupon for pizza.
Something.
We can be, to a certain extent, we can be bribed.
We can be right. That's right.
Yes.
I had Chris Woodward on a phone call with your assistant, and he said that if you did not bring the Cracker Barrel stuff, that he was not going to give you the aid that you need for your show.
Right.
On this show.
Anyway, so, nice segue to the news of the day.
And he wants to meet you behind Walmart at 11 tonight to make this exchange.
I'm not meeting anyone
there
behind
will be a transcript.
Walmart at 11
There will
tonight.
Be a transcript of the call.
Yes.
That's right.
All right. Way to stop us from having fun, Steve, and get us back to serious.
Come join our studio audience, everyone.
Yeah.
Go, Steve.
Hey.
What do you got?
I am a reporter, and I am charged with only reporting facts, so I cannot opine.
Okay.
The fact is, the Democrats in the House is a clown car of politicians.
a flaming clown car.
That's a
good
one.
Just the facts.
They continue to try to shake down acting DNI Joseph McGuire.
Now, what's DNI?
DNI
sure
is the is
know.
A
Director
of National Intelligence.
I know what NCIS
director.
Is.
Right, right.
Los Angeles.
But they continue to try to twist his words. And I don't know. I think you guys played last hour Devin Nunes, who was talking about what they were going to do,
right.
Take your words and twist it. They continue to do that. It is a show trial. It is not an investigation. It is not a hearing. They are embarrassing themselves. And frankly, I think they're probably doing a lot of the Republicans' work for them come 2020.
Wow, that was about as opinionated as I've
nope.
seen
just
you
the
get
facts.
Just
the
time.
Facts, ma'am. Yes. Elsewhere in Congress, the Senate voted Wednesday to end President Trump's emergency declaration on the U.S.-Mexico border, paving way for a veto showdown with the White House. So the vote was 54 to 41. What you remember President Trump has done, he declared a national emergency at the border, and he pulled some money that was under his discretion from the military to go start building a border wall, because Democrats in the Senate and the House will not budge on giving him the one, what many people say is the single best deterrent from keeping people crossing the border.
Illegally.
And so they voted, the senators voted 54 to 41 to end the emergency declaration at the border, whether they had the authority to do that or whether the president he can veto it if he has to. Notable, 11 Republican senators voted with the Democrats to tell President Trump that it's improper for him, they say, to pull these funds. They are Lamar Alexander of Tennessee. These are all senators. Roy Blunt of Missouri. Susan Collins of Maine. Mike Lee of Utah. Jerry Moran of Kansas. Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. Rand Paul of Kentucky. Rob Portman of Ohio. Mitt Romney of Utah. Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania. And Roger Wicker of Mississippi. Many of these could be listed as a perennial thorn in the flesh to the president, some not. And
well, let me just say this, and don't throw things at the radio when I tell you what I'm about to say, because I would have voted with the president on this one, because I think he has discretion to decide about a national emergency,
right,
and the invasion from hundreds of thousands of people into our country illegally,
right,
is constitutes a national emergency.
And the ripple effect of that.
Yes. Okay. So, however, I will tell you this, and I know Senator Wicker personally, although I have not spoken with him about this issue, okay, and Rand Paul, I'm a fan of his. Mm-hmm. Mike Lee, same thing. These were three of the ones. Now, some of the others are, they're
Lisa Murkowski.
Yeah, they vote with the Democrats a lot, so that doesn't surprise me. But what I'm guessing these senators would tell you, who typically vote with the president, is that no funds, that you have a constitutional mechanism for appropriating money for various departments and projects, and that comes through the House of Representatives, and then the Senate, and then the president signs it or vetoes it, okay? And it was clear that the House of Representatives did not intend for the president to have money to build a wall. Remember that?
Right.
Okay.
Not
so
$1.
Okay.
That's
so
what Nancy Pelosi.
So I'm just telling you that what they would say is that if the president wants money to build a wall, he needs to go through Congress to get it. Otherwise, it's not the way we do things.
And it's a bad precedent.
It's a bad precedent.
Right.
That's what they're going to tell you. I can almost guarantee you.
Well, I can tell you, Susan Collins' very
words,
says, let me be clear, the question before us is not whether to support or oppose the wall or to support or oppose the president. Rather, it is, do we want the executive branch, now or in the future, to hold a power that the founders deliberately entrusted to Congress?
That's a legitimate question.
It is.
I'm not a big fan of Susan Collins, but that is a very legitimate question. So, anyway, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Ed and Ray and Steve Jordahl. Next story.
We have a lawsuit that's been filed in Manhattan federal court by New York Attorney General Letitia James and Brooklyn District Attorney Eric Gonzalez.
Uh-huh.
And they are saying that what ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, this agency that's under fire for enforcing.
Not Vanilla ICE.
Pardon me?
Not Vanilla ICE. You're talking about
not Vanilla ICE. He's, so far as I know, still somewhere in.
Well, I just wanted to be clear.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, the ones that people want to abolish. They are suing, saying that what they are doing, that what ICE is doing by standing around federal courtrooms and jails to pick up illegal immigrants for which they have detainers and kick out of the country orders. What are those called?
Deportation.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Otherwise called kick out of the country orders.
That's right.
I think there's an acronym for that. But anyway, they're saying it's unconstitutional for them to stand around, that they're breaking the law by standing around and waiting for these people to come out. You may remember New York.
Who's saying that's illegal?
The New York Attorney General and the Brooklyn District Attorney, New York City and New York, kind of in the sanctuary state.
So they would say, no, you can't catch them where you know they are. You need to go on a wild goose chase in order for it to be legal.
It's exactly what they're saying.
Well, listen, I would just, if I was members of ICE,
typical Democrats,
I would just continue to do it.
Yeah.
They have no legal, what are they going to do, arrest federal officers? I don't think so.
Yeah, me too.
Well, those federal officers have guns. Ray, that's not going to end up well, I don't think.
Yeah.
Well, they may get a federal judge to issue a cease and desist, but I think it would be an unlawful order.
Ray, what do you think is really driving this?
Well, the complete opposition to ICE and everything it stands for, right. But it's another way of getting back at the president for what he's for trying to build the wall and turn away the incredible wave of illegal immigrants coming into the country.
ICE
is just an easy target.
I don't know. I go back and forth on. But I guess I really am surprised in a way, and then in another way I'm not, that the Democrats are going with open borders as a winning issue in an election for America. If you don't have control of your borders, you're not a sovereign country. You can't control anything. And so when the Democrats decided to go all in with open borders, they might say, well, they're not open borders. Yeah, they are open borders. They're forgiven. Remember, they promised free health insurance, medical
insurance. Yeah, some of the candidates for president.
Well, who didn't?
Well, I think they did.
They did.
They asked.
They all raised their hand. And Joe Biden went halfway. Because he's going, what am I committing to?
Was that
the rest
question
of them
that they all raised?
Yeah.
Hands
do you believe in having free medical care? They wouldn't have maybe said it like that for that the government for people anybody who comes here illegally, and they all threw their hands up in the air. So when you say that, and then you say you don't want to detain people, and you're against ICE and the border control, you're for anybody and everybody. Y'all come. That's the Democrat
Party. Some parties. Of them are for decriminalizing.
That's what I'm saying.
Entry right. into the.
That's what I'm saying. So I guess I'm still surprised that they've chosen that route as a winning issue with the American voters.
Remember, it is the primary, and the base of the Democrat Party seems to be sprinting as fast as it can to the left, which is welcoming. We don't want to be, we want the Hispanic vote. We don't want to be seen as, mean or detaining. It's just a left talking point, so they kind of have to go there if they want to get the primary.
No, well, they want to they want to fundamentally change America. That's where they're going with this. I've mentioned this before. I won't go give my speech again. What the Democrats want to do, their ultimate goal here, is to have our country flooded with people who are here illegally, and then the Democrats, when they get enough power, they will give them amnesty, right? So
right.
they'll turn 20 million people into voters overnight in the name of compassion. And of course you don't have borders anymore, so I don't know. They would turn it open borders, and then you permanently destroy the Republican Party because you add all these new voters to the rolls, and then you give them stuff. Now you are selling out your country.
Good news, bad news kind of thing.
For short-term political gain, probably. But the Democrats have chosen that road. And they'll say in the name of compassion, let them all in, whoever wants to come. You turn them away for any reason, you hate those people, right? So that's the road they've chosen. I don't know. I don't think that's a winning issue yet with the American people.
Right.
By the American people, I mean a majority of voters. But I guess we'll see next year.
I tell you, it's interesting. I think if the Republicans could come up with a legitimate way to appeal to the Hispanic vote, who are socially conservative, right. and believe in the American dream and are hard workers, and the vast majority of whom stood in line to come to the country.
They're not anti-religion.
They're not. Right.
Like the Democratic Party is becoming.
If the Republican Party
becoming.
Could start grabbing a percentage of those people, you would see Democrats vote for wall funding so fast it would make your head spin.
In fact, you might have the parties switch positions at that point.
You
now,
might.
There has been some news lately that President Trump may be at this point attracting as high as 29% of likely Hispanic voters. And I think the point you made, that percentage could go up, you know, once. My understanding is that a lot of Hispanic voters who are American citizens,
yeah.
some of whom actually came here through the process legally, they don't like illegal immigration
right.
either.
And, of course, the vast majority of Hispanics in the country were born here, been here for generations,
right.
perhaps, and,
right.
and are already American citizens.
Look, if the president can get 30%
right.
or above,
right.
as you suggested, Ed, he's going to walk into the White House. He's going to win re-election easy. I think that's one thing the Democrats fear, is they see Mr. Trump cutting into what they think is their stranglehold on the Hispanic vote. That's beginning to change.
Yeah, and you know, if you want to know what globalism is, I know that term's thrown around a lot, and President talked about it the other day in his United Nations speech. One aspect of globalism, the George Soros philosophy,
right?
The ideology, if that's what you want, what he funds, you've heard that name a lot. Internationalism is do away with borders, right? Especially for the United States. That's what they want. That's what they want to do.
They want the free flow of capital and workers, because that benefits multinational corporations. That's what
you think. That's part of it.
That's
too?
Why I think you even have some on the left who don't like multinational corporations.
Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, they
right.
You know, because there is no, there's different reasons for it, but there's no loyalty to nations. And they often operate outside of national laws when it comes to workers and treatment of workers, so on and so forth.
Next story, Steve.
We have a war brewing.
Really?
It is a battle. And I know we've been talking about pitch battles on Capitol Hill, mm-hmm. but this one has the potential to be very, very interesting. Tucker Carlson and Shepard Smith do not like each other very much. I am starting to learn.
Talking about the Fox News guys.
I'm talking about the Fox News daytime reporter,
mm-hmm.
Shepard Smith. He's very good at reporting and very partisan at politics. And opinion man Tucker Carlson. Tucker had Joe DiGenova on, who's an opinion guy, on his show the other day and is a Trump supporter. And they were talking about whether or not any crimes had been committed by President Trump during this whole phone call with the...
Is this after the transcript had been released?
It is after the transcript okay. had been released. And so Shepard had Shepard had Andrew Napolitano on, who said, yes, there were crimes committed.
Is that before the transcript?
That's after the transcript. That's what okay. Andrew Napolitano said.
I'm surprised he said that.
Well,
anyway.
so was Tucker. I want you to hear clip 15.
Well, I think Judge Napolitano is a fool, and I think what he said today is foolish. No, it is not a crime. Let me underscore emphatically that nothing that the president said on that call or what we think he said on that call constitutes a crime.
Well, apparently our daytime host who hosted Judge Napolitano was watching last night and was outraged by what you said.
A partisan guest who supports President Trump was asked about Judge Napolitano's legal assessment. And when he was asked, he said, unchallenged, Judge Napolitano is a fool. Attacking our colleague, who's here to offer legal assessments on our air, in our work home, is repugnant.
Repugnant! Not clear if that was you or me, but someone's repugnant. Now, unlike maybe some dayside hosts, I'm not very partisan, and it was a sincere question. Is it a crime or not? So given everything that's happened in the last 24 hours, I just want to throw it to you again. Was it a crime or not?
Absolutely not. Now, let me sort of educate Judge Napolitano.
Things are not going well at Fox News.
Yeah, so So do you think they go to, you think they go to lunch?
I bet not. And I'm betting that Shep does not have Joe DiGenova on his show very soon.
You think somebody's maybe going to put shaving cream on another person's locker?
You think it's going to devolve into something like that?
At the Fox News gym there?
We used to take talcum powder outside the dorm room door and a blow dryer, and we just put it on a big bunch of like talcum powder or flour or something and blow it in, and it covered everything in white.
And you weren't even going to the college at the time.
No, I just...
You just go up and down the hallway.
Take notes, people.
Shepard Smith.
That's right. Yes, for those of you prone to vandalism.
I guess I have just excused myself from public office for the rest of my life.
That's right. Just don't tweet it.
That's right.
Ray, I don't really, you know, I don't mind people opinion shows get high ratings.
Right.
Political opinion shows, we all watch them. People of all different political stripes. Well, I say we all watch them. Millions of people do anyway in the country. But when you get into, like what Shepard Smith does, I'm not sure if, I guess Don Lemon would qualify as, he's an anchorman for a news hour, right? He's really not. Does he bill himself as like Sean Hannity?
He does not.
Okay,
right.
So I think that's the, when people like Shepard Smith, who's supposed to be just reporting the news of the day, blurs it with his own and throws in his own, that's an opinion show, and that's what Don Lemon does, and that's what.
Let me surprise everyone stand up a little bit for Shepard Smith.
Okay.
Who I don't like when he goes opinion. I do like him as a reporter.
He hates President Trump.
He hates President Trump. He hates Christians who believe in the biblical, model of marriage.
He's openly gay.
He's openly gay, so he's hostile to our view on human sexuality and marriage. But let me just say this. I think he does have a point that since Judge Napolitano is a co-worker with Tucker Carlson, it probably would have been good for Tucker Carlson to say, well, let me just stop you there. He's not a fool.
Did he say he was a fool, or did he say he was foolish?
A fool.
Or he said he is a fool?
He called him a fool.
He called him a fool.
That's too far.
I think Tucker Carlson could have said, no, wait a second. I know the judge, you may disagree with him, but he's not a fool. You disagree. I'm going to say for Shepard Smith, I think he is overreacting.
You're going to give him an attaboy?
Well, I think he's overreacting, to what happened. But to make a point, I think Tucker Carlson should have said, he's not a fool. But let me I want to stand up for Judge Napolitano and say he's not a fool. But let's go back to your point. But is that something you want to seriously make a big case out of? Well, I guess Shepard Smith did.
Ratings.
So, everyone's going to be watching him tonight.
Hey, look. Right? I think this wouldn't have happened if Roger Ailes was still around. He would have called everybody and said, "Boys, we are not going to do that on this network." Right? This is kind of going a little bit off the rails here.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. What do you got, Steve? We got 1 minute.
We have Fremont, California. It's the East Bay. It's the home of Tesla Motors, and Tesla has given a bunch of electric police cars. Well, one of those electric police cars was in a high speed chase, which became a slower and slower speed chase as the police car started running out of batteries. I can hear it now.
Where did this happen?
In Fremont.
Fremont, California?
In California. Fremont, California.
What does the officer say when he calls me?
Did you record Steve just then, Brent? We got that, right? We can use that in the future.
What does the officer say when he calls into the precinct telling him
he said, just slow down to 6 miles of battery on the Tesla so I may lose it here in a sec.
Yeah, and he also...
If someone else is able, can they maneuver into the number one spot?
He also said, I'm going to need to find a charging station to get back to the police station.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Anybody want a cop car? Can't go anywhere, but it's here.
Oh, my. That really happened?
It did. I would not lie. I am a reporter.
Okay. All right, Ray, well... Have safe travels. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. Thanks, Ed.
All right.
Steve, my thanks to Fred from the last hour and Brent Creeley for being our producer today and Abe for his contributions. All right. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next time.